Ken, you're very welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Amber, for having me.
So to start off, will you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your business?
A bit about myself. I've been working in business advisory for the last 20 years or so. I actually started life as an engineer, and after a few years I moved over to London and started working in business advisory for one of the big four, and I moved back to Ireland then in 2011. Predominantly, the first half of my career was working with big corporates, but the second half of my career is when I really started working with the SME owners, in particular in Ireland and the UK, and it's where I kind of found my love of working with SME owners. The scenarios where I was working with them was usually after they'd sold their business, I'd go in on behalf of maybe a private equity buyer or a buyer to help integrate their business into the new organization and to deliver the value then off the back of that transaction. So that's my background. I guess why I started my own business then, Comigo, about 3 years ago, was really just to continue that love of working with SME owners. What I found was most of the time when I was working with these guys, they'd already sold their business, and it was obvious that, you know, they hadn't really kind of been supported or advised properly in advance of selling their business. And, you know, I saw so many opportunities where if they'd actually taken a bit of time before they sold their business to actually, you know, make some small changes, they would firstly increase the value of their business and probably would have got a, you know, a better return from the transaction. But secondly, they would have been clear on who they wanted to sell to and found themselves a better strategic fit for their business. So that's why I started Comigo really 3 years ago, to work with SME owners to help them prepare their business for sale and then to help them through the transaction process.
Okay, really interesting. And as you well know, I suppose through your own work as well, Ken, mergers and acquisitions, they're a huge part of business, but it is important, as you said as well, to ensure that you have the right investor or the right buyer for your business, isn't it, before you, I suppose, you make that crucial step?
Yeah, it is. And like, I think, you know, if you think even in your own area down in Kerry, there's a good bit of M&A happening in the region. If you think of the sectors, and the three main sectors for me where I see a lot of M&A would be in the technology and digital space, firstly, then the life sciences space, and then professional services. And in all of those spaces, you're going to have different types of buyers who have different reasons for wanting to buy. You have your traditional trade buyers who are looking to just buy an extension of their business that might offer a different product or service to a different market that they can then sell to the rest of their customer base. You have overseas buyers, a lot of US buyers coming into Ireland to look to kind of get a foothold in the European market in an English-speaking country. And then you also have private equity consolidators who are looking to essentially buy and build similar types of businesses to look to integrate them and then create a platform which they then look to sell on to another investor. So all of those investors have different, I guess, agendas, and, you know, the life, you know, post-transaction with all of those investors is going to look different. So it's really important to, if you're a business owner, to be clear on, you know, what do you want for your business? You know, it's going to vary. If you're at the latter stage of your career, you might just want to get a check and leave, and you don't really care what happens post-transaction. If you're at an earlier stage of your career and you want to find an investor that'll help you drive on and build a business further for the next 10 years, you'd be looking for a different type of investor. So I think the starting point of really just being clear on what you want from a transaction and why you're doing it is often overlooked. Sometimes somebody can be, you know, shown a shiny check, and it starts a process that might end in a few quid, but actually in the long run, it's not the right outcome for the business. So yeah, and that's particularly important in businesses where you have multiple shareholders, and particularly in businesses where the shareholders are of different ages, right? So if you have an older shareholder who's towards the end of their career, they'll have different prerogatives than, say, a younger shareholder who's got another 10 or 15 years left in their career.
Mm-hmm. And Ken, I suppose it probably varies from business to business depending on what type of business it is, but in more general terms, what should business owners maybe be looking for when it comes to ensuring that they do find that right person, be it for a merger or for an acquisition?
Yeah, well, as I said, you need to first start and understand what you want, right, from it, and that then is going to drive your decision around who you're looking for, right? But I think what I commonly see done incorrectly is where people get up, you know, they get flattered by a big number, and they just go after the big number, and it's not necessarily the right outcome. So I think there's the commercial view of what you want to get from a transaction, and that's important, obviously, and the steps you can take pre-transaction to maximize that. Around, you know, things like obviously increasing the profitability of your business and looking at things like recurring revenue, so it does guarantee revenue into the future, and then mitigating elements of your business that might cause chipping, for example, if there's any risk in the business around scaling or your, you know, succession planning, trying to get that fixed upfront will help maximize the value of the business. So that's your kind of quantitative view of it or your commercial view of it. But then what's often overlooked, and you know, I would encourage sellers to really focus on, is the qualitative view of who they're engaging with. So understanding the culture of the buyer, you know, what's it going to look like post-transaction? What are the people like actually spending time, face time with the people who are going to buy your business? Understand what their motives are, understand, you know, what their culture is really, and understand what life looks like post-transaction. You know, what's the relationship going to look like? Simple things like, how often will we meet? How are we going to report to each other? You know, how will you support us? Basic questions often get overlooked because the focus is too much on the commercials. But if it's done right, then you can definitely kind of tease out who the right buyers are for you. Strategy is also a big thing as well, and understanding the strategy and you know, what's this going to look like in 5 years' time, and is that aligned with your strategy too?
Yeah, that's great advice there. And Ken, I can imagine as well, for someone maybe who's, you know, spent years and years building up a really successful business, the thought maybe of merging or selling, it can be quite stressful, I can imagine, but it obviously does bring quite a lot of opportunities for a person as well and for a business owner.
Yeah, it does, right? So and again, it goes back to where the business owner is. So if you're at the end of your career, it's maybe looking for some succession for your business. So for yourself to make an exit, but then also for the people behind you, you know, to have a future. So that's one lens. But if you're, you know, if you've been building a business for 5 or 10 years and you've got as kind of far as you think you can take it, and through merging with another business, you can really accelerate the growth. You know, there's huge opportunity there. So it does vary, but it is an emotional process, right? Especially if you've built your own business from scratch. You know, no matter which way you spin it, if you sell your business, you're handing over some level of autonomy. And different buyers are going to want to have more or less control depending upon who you engage with, right? So that's something that should also be considered. But yeah, it's quite an overwhelming process for a seller, and it's important to have a good advisor who can sit beside you really, and, you know, not just work through the commercials with you, but actually sit beside you as a kind of partner through the process and help you manage that emotional roller coaster, which it always is, no matter how easy you think it will be. There's always a lot of emotional stuff that comes up, especially as you get closer to the signing date and get into the kind of the legals around it as well.
Yeah, absolutely, I can imagine. And I suppose a big part of it as well is probably that negotiation side of it, where it comes to making, I suppose, sure that the whole process runs maybe that little bit smoother by negotiating properly. And as you said there as well, you know, certain buyers might want a certain percentage, but you might also want something in return, I suppose. So it's important that you do negotiate, I suppose. And as you said, you don't just look at the check maybe and decide this is the best option for you, because it's important to make sure that you're happy with the outcome of it when it does come to that stage.
Yeah, and when you think about negotiation, again, there's two elements to it. There's the kind of the commercial negotiation, so negotiating on the number and the terms of the payment, right? So in most scenarios, you're not just going to get the number on day one. There's going to be some sort of deferred payment. So you get an element of it on day one, and then some of it will be deferred. And sometimes there's contingency around that. So, you know, we'll give you 70% today, but we'll give you 30% in 2 years' time, assuming you grow by 10%, for example. So there's a lot of negotiation that can happen in that space. And in some cases also, you might roll elements of your consideration. So, you know, you might roll 30% of the price into a group, especially with private equity consolidators, where, you know, you'll get return on that in 3 or 5 years' time, but you'll get a much larger return. So understanding that and negotiating that, there's lots of nuances in that space. But then there's also negotiating on terms, in terms of actually basic things like how many days holidays a year I have, and stuff that owner managers often don't have to deal with because they've always done things themselves, right? So all the terms around actually the benefits and your essentially your employee contract post transaction, as well as then, you know, the level of autonomy you might have in the role, you know, the level of reporting you need to do, all that kind of stuff. So there's lots of nuances that need to be considered, and there's too many to mention here on this call. But if you think of all of them rolled out in front of you, it provides a lot of opportunity for emotion to rise up, and there's a lot to be discussed there. So it is quite a journey, and there's a good bit of work to be done on it.
Yeah, it certainly is. And just before we finish up, Ken, I wanted to ask you as well about the recent increase in Budget 2026 in the entrepreneurial relief. Yes. What does this mean for businesses that might be considering to sell?
Yeah, like it's definitely an incentive. Two things. First of all, you're going to probably see a dip in the transaction volumes in Q4 in 2025, because this doesn't come into effect till January. So I'd say any deals we're maybe looking to close in November or December, you know, might just kick on into January. So it'll skew the numbers a little bit in terms of the deal volume. And I expect that'll then just, we'll see a peak in January. So that's one outcome of this. But I think in terms of incentivizing people to sell their business, like if you actually break it down, you know, it's a difference between 33% and 10% on an extra 500,000, which actually breaks down as an extra 115,000 in your pocket as part of the transaction. So while that's quite a lot of money, when you start looking at the larger deals, it's not really a big amount of money. So it's not in of itself a reason to sell your business. Now, if you're a smaller firm and especially if you've maybe a husband and wife or you know, or two partners and you know, you're going to get that payment twice, then it may be an incentive. But I don't think on its own it would be an incentive for people to sell. It would just be a nice cherry on top, I suppose, especially for the smaller firms who are looking to transact.
Yeah, okay, that's very interesting to know. Well, Ken, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me this evening. It's been lovely to have you on the show.
That's great, Amber. Good to talk. Take care.